So welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and this is going to be a review for Sicario 2, Soldado, directed by Stefano Salima, who is not the original director.
Yes,
the original director, even though I have not liked his later movies, Denis Villeneuve, and he is a very good visionary. But it is written by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote the first movie. And also wrote another movie that I like, which was Wind River, which is another crime drama. And this one stars Benicio del Toro, Josh Brolin, and Isabella Moner. And the synopsis is, the drug war on the U.S.-Mexico border has escalated as the cartels have begun trafficking terrorists across the U.S. borders to fight the war. Federal agent Matt Graver, who is Josh Brolin, retains with the Mercurio Alejandro. And Keith, what did you think of Sicario 2?
It is a well-written movie, but it lacks the visual style that so impressed me with the first Sicario. Villeneuve was sorely missed. I think they would have accomplished more if they'd have gone ahead and waited for him to come on board and then direct the sequel. Decent ideas. The writing is pretty good. The editing, I'm afraid, lacks in that. It kind of does the writing disservice.
Agreed.
The director was trying to do a lot of what Denis Villeneuve did. Gosh, who was that cinematographer for the first one?
Roger Deakins.
Give me a second. What's that?
Roger Deakins.
Yeah, Roger Deakins. Yeah. This is the series where you wait for the crew and the cast to have the time to make the film. You don't make it cut out some people and stuff like that and add some more into it. Casting was fine, but it lacked the first movie's visual and atmospheric feel to it that there was enough tension in it in that first movie. That's probably the main draw I liked about it, that you were given enough tension and there were enough scenes that added to that tension, along with the music, the score, and the lack of dialogue, the limited dialogue, to the point that it told the whole story just visually alone. My original thinking is that a deaf person would have watched Sicario with no subtitles and would have liked the movie and would have gotten the same impact they got as someone who listened to the dialogue. This one, you had to pay attention to what was happening. They made the same mistake that most sequels do, and that is they try to hit the same beats that the first movie did. Also, because of Josh Brolin's rising stardom, as well as Benicio del Toro's, the two of them were almost competing for screen time. And there were some elements in there that we didn't need to see too much of that. His character worked best when he was mysterious. The first Sicario, you didn't know what his objective was. You knew he was a player. You knew he was dangerous. You knew he was in the mix and running things. You were seeing everything through Emily Blunt's character, who is completely naive to what was happening and what the true motivation was.
Yeah.
And Benicio del Toro's character, Alejandro, was a complete and absolute mystery. This one, they throw more tidbits about his family. You get the idea that, yeah, he's ticked, but you've got this new girl, Isabella Moran, I think her name is. Lovely girl. She did a good acting job. She keeps it up. She'll be a big star. The connection between the two of them, I don't think the director had the skill, just without dialogue, just visually to tell their story. And unfortunately, it wasn't able to convey the connection and everything, why he was so driven to try to protect her. But the scene with the deaf family was that played out too long.
Yeah.
And again, like if Denis Villeneuve did it and his photographer was in it, they would have better tell him that story visually, but it didn't. And you kind of left with no dialogue and the acting was good. And there were enough moments with Benicio del Toro's character that you were like, oh, bad. He's still a badass. There was a moment of like, we had to scratch your head and go, what the fuck? Like seriously, towards the end, I don't want to spoil it, but it's kind of like, how the hell did he get out of that?
Yeah. And yes. Yes.
You're like, yes. I'm telling my girl, I'm like, that's not him. He must have switched places. I got excited. Then it turned out that wasn't the case. And you're like, what the hell? And then it ended on something of a cliffhanger. Granted, the scene when it ended was kind of badass. You start cranking the music and you knew something was up. And that's it. My thinking is that when you have something like this, when you have a completely different creative team directing this movie, you need to just play to your strengths and just go with it a different direction then. Don't be afraid to take what it was. Do what James Cameron did with Aliens. He couldn't do horror to save his life, so he made an action movie. Like this one, this would have done a hell of a lot better if it had just been a straight up action movie. the writing and the acting that was done, they'd have ramped up and made it more of an action movie, made the pacing more dynamic in tune with that, because it's taking place over the course of, what, 2-3 days?
Yeah.
So if they had like ramped it up with that type of time crunch, they had to get this thing done before, you know, all hell breaks loose. They did correct it up like in that manner and everything, that would have worked out a lot better. You understand why it's called Soldado at the very end of the movie for one character in particular who's introduced. And honestly, I thought that kid had potential, but again, the director didn't have the talent, didn't have the skill to convey his story without dialogue. Again, was written to be more visual.
Right.
And so I don't like the writer. I don't like the actors. You know, this is a fault of the director and the editing. So not as good as the first.
Matt, so what's your view on Sicario, Matt?
I felt that it built on the first movie. I think part of the reason why we were so amazed at the first movie was that it was not a popcorn movie. I don't believe that the first or the second movie was for the faint of heart. But
the first movie, if someone hasn't seen it, is more of a thriller crime drama.
Yeah.
Part one caught me off guard because I didn't hear any of the hoopla regarding this movie until you guys started bringing it up. And I actually happened to have it recorded on my DVR one day. And I watched it and I was actually immersed in the world. Effectively captures what Grimm is. I mean, if anybody felt that Avengers Infinity War captured what a Grimm world is nothing compared to Sicario Part 1. Part 2, I was already in that mindset. I think that's part of the reason why I don't feel it was as good as Part 1. The stage was already set from Part 1 where it didn't catch me off guard. They did hit on some topics as far as kid smuggling and then the war on terrorists. Thought it was a good movie, but I will agree with Keith, I don't feel it was as good as the first one, but it is still pretty good compared to all the recent movies that have come out.
All right. The movie was a bit misguided and misses the point of the first movie. So the first movie is really about being manipulated and things being out of your control. So Emily Blunt's character was just totally oblivious to, one, that she was fighting the war on drugs, but there was this whole other aspect of it that she just had no control over. Josh Brolin steps in, says, hey, if you want to make a difference, follow me. But then he starts manipulating her. And then also Benicio Del Toro, he also has his own motives about this. This particular movie, the creative team behind it is different, but it's not as advertised as in the trailers. So this one makes it seem as if this might be an all-out action movie. But it turns out to be more or less an after-school special with a little bit of crime in it. The angle this one tries to take, if they had to follow the Man on Fire formula, it would have been awesome, but it doesn't do that. Then there's just some logical gaps in between, and then also some character motivation problems. So Benicio Del Toro in the first movie murders a whole family just to get to his objective. This one, his character does something that is completely opposite of who he is. Josh Brolin, same thing. And then, as Keith stated, there's something at the end of the movie that was just completely implausible. And if they had to just stuck with what they had shot instead of this whole stupid angle, it would have been better. Whole thing with this movie, and also compared to the first movie, that there's technically two storylines. So you have Emily Blunt's storyline and then Benicio Del Toro's. And this one tries to follow an A-B storyline. That the A storyline is Benicio Del Toro, Josh Brolin trying to manipulate cartel gangs. And then this B storyline about this kid that he's an up-and-coming gang member. And that one just didn't work out that well. So compared to the first movie is a 10. This is not a 10. Creatively is not a 10. Editing wise is not a 10. Cinematography wise is not a 10. Directorial wise is not a 10. I'm slightly let down by this movie. I thought this movie would be better than what it was. The creative need to have this movie was totally ruined because between the first movie and this movie, the politics of the world have changed. The angle that the first movie takes is just like, hey, well, this is what I wanted to do creatively. And if I piss somebody off in the process of it, all right, great. This one tries to be, we can't offend everyone. So that's what it tries not to do. Because the first movie took place in Juarez, and then people that live there were like, hey, well, that's not representative of where we live at.
Brought up a good point about the whole politics and thing changing up. I thought the setup for them going to back to Mexico and kind of the whole attitude of like, your weapon's free, you can do whatever you want. It was gearing up for this moment, and then you have it all go to shit. They all turn. First of all, I didn't understand, like, how was it that they knew it was Americans did the deed when they smoked everybody?
At first, I thought this was all just a setup. Logically, I was like, hold on. All right. At some point during the gun shootout, Josh Brolin's character and, like, his buddy were firing at a truck and intentionally missing because the person is up top on a gun. And they're firing at the truck bed. I'm thinking, all right, well, they're making this look like they got set up.
Exactly. Thinking like the first Sicario, it was all misdirection. Everything was set up in the first movie to get the one drug lord to go back and lead them to the boss.
Yeah.
And that was
they
so
waterboarded somebody like this.
Exactly. And then Benicio smokes his whole family and then kills them. I'm like, yeah, gangster. That was his boss move. That was a perfect capper to a 10 movie, a perfect movie. This one is, I'm seeing the setup. I'm like, all right, here we go. And what's going on? It's like everything started going off the rails. These guys were not this inept. Even when Emily Blunt's character was fucking them up in the first movie, they still made the moves and made it work. Then you got this kid throwing a monkey wrench and everything. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? Alejandro's mission is to get to this guy, Carlos Reyes, because he's the one who ordered the death of his family. So, you kind of see in the movie that he needs Josh Brolin's character and his resources to get that. So he's willing to do whatever it takes to get to his objective. Vice versa, Josh Brolin's willing to use Benicio's character because he's remorseless. Not only that, he can leave him as a scapegoat. That's the guy who actually did all the killings and stuff. So he's free and clear. So it made perfect sense. Like when you're watching the movie, you're like, all right, let's play it on. Let that play out. But instead, they flip the script and it's like he's got feelings for him and they turn out to be buddy buddies and shit. No. This dude just smoked two innocent kids and a woman.
Yeah, and this
in front of a man to kill him. And that, just like you said, you didn't think he would go that far.
It's like he did not forgive them. No matter what happened, like he was going to get his revenge, and that was going to be it.
So clearly he's a villain. He's not a good guy. We're all sympathetic to him because he's Benicio del Toro, and he played the character well. You've got feelings for him. You want him to succeed, but at the same time, he's going to do some real fuck shit to get to that point. He kind of let down. What? She goes to witness protection. I'm like, what? Like, that's not what you would do. You wouldn't do that.
It's like, she's going to witness protection. I'm going to do that for him. No.
The thing he would have done that if he wanted to help his boy out or to remember his friend and stuff like that would be to take the helicopters up north, bomb the shit out of that dude, Carlos Reyes. Fuck it. I'm kind of thinking that's what it was going to go to. They were just going to be like, screw it. What do we want to do? And they just all march up there and just wage war against the cartel and stuff. That's the movie right there. Didn't play out. I get the sense, Barry, you didn't like that kid who's actually, that was a soldier.
I didn't like the B storyline. No, I did not.
I saw where they were going with that. And I think the writer was doing something. And if he had a better directing and editing and it was edited properly and paced properly, that kid's story would have worked out a lot better.
I didn't like the kid at all.
No, I thought the B storyline was just useless.
Again, I could see where it was going. I had a feeling of where it was going to go. And if it had gone that direction, then I think it would have worked out a lot better. But again, it didn't. And I'm taking the movie as it is. And as it is, I'm not too happy with it. My girl and I both watched it. I had to watch the first movie for the first time. And she was like blown away by it. We get to the movie all pumped and stuff. And I'm cautiously optimistic because I know sequels are never as good as the first one sometimes. And it turned out to be 100% correct in this thing. It was not.
So let's go to scores. Keith, what score would you give Sicario 2?
Well, my rule. Movies I watch again get a 5. Anything I won't watch again is under a 5. So I don't think I can watch this movie again. So I'll give it a 4.5 for the acting alone. That's about it. And I'm grading it against the first movie.
Yeah.
And that's the bane of the sequels. And the first greatness. Movie was a 10.
Greatness as the first movie and kind of this mediocre attempt at something.
Yeah. Now, when they do the third one, I'll watch it. So that's why I get it a 4.5. But yeah, no, not this one. This is a misstep. There's a scene that is completely fucking unbelievable.
All right, Matt, what score would you give Sicario 2?
I would give it an 8.0. I felt it was a solid movie. Not anywhere as close as great as the first movie, but it still attempted to maintain the gloominess of the first movie while introducing new elements outside of the safe area that it had for part one, so I felt it was solid, not as great as the first, but definitely not as bad as what Keith felt it was, but it was entertaining.
Well, Matt, I'm going to have to side with Keith, and I'm going to give this a 5.5. I love that first movie. Again, there's not too many movies that I would give a 10 to.
First movie was awesome.
That movie, remember when Keith and I had went to go see that movie? That movie was just on a different level. The movie was just on an entirely different spectrum of filmmaking. You had a good creative team. Again, Denis Villeneuve, Roger Deakins on behind the camera, and everything was just working. Emily Blunt was this wonderful actress. And I think she came off of Edge of Tomorrow, and she's a totally different person. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
Like, he was in that movie. Totally different person from Get Out. Totally different person. And then you have Josh Brolin, who plays a lot of those roles sometimes, but he did a great job. And then Benicio Del Toro, and just the way his character was written, where he was just this mysterious character that just got stuff done. He's the hired gun. The setting, the tone of it, the pacing, everything just worked out. And this one, it tries to apologize too much for maybe people getting pissed off at the first movie. And
I don't see why. I don't know why anybody was pissed off about that first movie.
And like I said, if it takes the track that Man on Fire took, this is just this unrelentless person that will kill anybody. Like, even if you're going to take that way that this movie decided to go, Man on Fire should be that template for that movie. Yeah, so 5.5 is half of what the first movie should have been.
I was just thinking that you guys would have scored a little bit higher, but okay.
That first movie, when I saw it, the moments when it was just like a scene, nearly a 30-second scene of a desert, and it was just cranking that music, and it was just slow pacing what's going on. I'm like, they're going in there. I didn't sit there and wonder what the hell was going on. Completely enraptured by it. I was stuck. I was glued to my seat, just staring at the movie, just listening, absorbing everything about it. Every time Benicio Del Toro, apparently he cut most of his line out of that movie because he felt that the character shouldn't speak that much and his actions, and you would just intuit what his motivations were. You didn't know what he was going to do when he got in that police car at the end. You didn't know what he was going to do. You knew somebody was going to die, but you didn't know the level of the shit he was going to unleash on him. And unfortunately, they couldn't capture it. They couldn't redo it. And my thing is that you couldn't capture it. You do something completely different. You flip the script, go straight action movie.
All right. That's Beast Game Podcast.